In just a few minutes, I'll be reading from Psalm 34. You can turn there in your Bibles. I want to tell you that this message today that I'm bringing, the thoughts, the points, a lot of the points are based on and provided by a resource from the Voice of the Martyrs. The Voice of the Martyrs serves persecuted Christians in the world's most difficult and dangerous places to follow Christ. How many of you have traveled out of the country? Okay. Most of you have had the experience of going somewhere very different from where we live. In some ways, when you go and travel, you know that people are just people. They eat, they drink, they sleep, they get dressed, they experience family things together. But cultures are very different than what we have here in some places. Pastor Richard Warmbron and his wife, Sabina, founded Voice of the Martyrs after being imprisoned for their Christian witness in communist Romania. Since 1967, VOM has been dedicated to inspiring all believers to a biblical faith by telling the stories of persecuted Christians, thereby inspiring a deeper commitment to Christ and the fulfillment of his great commission, no matter the cost. I hope to encourage you today to a greater commitment to Christ and a commitment to fulfill his mission. Are you on board with that? That's where we're trying to go today. Today's sermon is a modification of a resource provided by this ministry. Throughout the sermon, we're going to pause and pray for the persecuted. So I'm going to ask you to stand every time that happens to participate in that. So you're going to get a little bit of a physical workout today. Up, downs, we'll call them. So the video that's going to be playing is a reenactment of a very true reality that happens around the world. So we're going to play this video for you now.
Heavenly Father, ride with us today. Listen to the cries of your children and
make us instruments of your peace. Amen.
My name is Mahindo. I am a Christian. My village was attacked in June. I was taken with some others into the forest. They said, if you become Muslim, you can be spared. If you refuse, we will kill you.
My name is Kasaka. I am a Christian. My friends and I were coming out of our field. We were attacked by rebels. They had weapons. We were outnumbered. Tied us up and began to slaughter us. One by one. With their machetes. Remember to listen more than to speak. Remember to let God speak through his word. And three,
ask, pray, and above all, be there.
They killed both my brothers because they had refused to convert. And I said to myself, they can kill me, But I am not going to become a Muslim. About that time, the army came and rescued us. The soldiers tried to ask me questions, but I could not speak. I had no words. My voice was broken.
They were killing my friends. And I was the third before the last. And feeling like I was already dead. And then there was a commotion. The person before me had some money in his pocket. And the rebels began fighting each other for it. And when I saw them fighting, God spoke to me and said, "Run." I ran, and three of them followed me. They followed me, but they could not catch me.
What did you do next?
I hid in the bush for a long time.
My brothers were left in the bushes without being buried. My whole village has been killed. There is nobody left.
When I received the Bible, I opened to Psalms 23. I've walked in the valley of the shadow of death.
After I was attacked, I lost the ability to speak. But I am beginning to move past the heart. I am praying again.
Psalm 34, verses 18 and 19. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. God add his blessing to the reading of his word. The first thing I want to remind you of is the reality of brokenness. It says in that text, the righteous person may have many troubles. There is an untruth out there that once you become a Christian, that all the brokenness and hardships that you had faced will fade away. And that's just not true. Those who follow Christ still have hardships. They still have troubles. Broken hearts and crushed spirits are a reality, not a rarity, even for the righteous. And in some ways, because we follow Christ, we've been exposed to what the kingdom of heaven is like. And yet we live around kingdoms of this world that just don't align with the kingdom of heaven. And it brings troubles. Brokenness impacts all people. It has touched you in your life. Many of us have experienced relational loss. Some of you have experienced abuse, physical, emotional. Some of you have experienced evil acts. Or some of you are brokenhearted just because you know a loved one is struggling as well. My encouragement to you is don't be overwhelmed by the struggle or by the evil, but let good work in your life and practice good. Let it overcome the evil. Broken hearts and crushed spirits are a reality, even for us. Secondly, the reality of brokenness is that being a Christ follower, it invites persecution. Jesus promised struggles for his followers. He He says, in this world you will have troubles. But he doesn't stop there. He says, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Because we love Jesus and we want to follow him, we live as he wants us to live. And that goes sometimes often against the ways of the world. It's going to bring conflict. From what we just saw, in many places in the world, the persecution is severe. We have a relational connection to the church in Nigeria through a missionary that came out of this church and went there. In Nigeria, there's a large percentage of the population that is Christian. But there's a small percentage of the country which are extreme Muslims who want to stop the move of Christianity. In Nigeria, it's the country in the world with maybe not the greatest persecution or number of it, but it's the place where the most Christians die in the world. Today, people are dying simply because they're gathering to worship or they take up and hold the mantle of Christ. The reality of this brokenness is that brokenness leads to emotional and spiritual pain. No matter what the brokenness is, it leads to pain, heartache, and it's not quickly remedied. The effects of this pain can last a long time. What that means to us is that we need to have a ministry to the suffering. We do that in numerous ways. But first of all, just recognize the reality of brokenness in the world. It's around us, and even though you are obeying Christ and following him and desiring to follow him, brokenness and suffering is going to come into your life. That's the reality. Part of the application of this is to identify your reaction to the brokenness. You may be angry at the brokenness in the world, at the persecutors, or maybe even angry to God. If you read the Psalms, David expressed frustration to God as, why do the wicked prosper, God? One reaction is indifference. I prefer to remain ignorant to the suffering of others. Quite frankly, I could fall into that camp sometimes. But the Holy Spirit won't let me do that. Sometimes it's good not to know. Sometimes we could react with unbelief and denial or with feelings of being overwhelmed. That too can affect me. But none of those reactions reflect a mature Christian. As we identify the possible reactions to the brokenness, first of all, one reaction is just awareness. That's what we're doing today. We're just saying, let's be aware of the suffering church out there or those who are brokenhearted and suffering in amongst these seats and in our communities, in our families. There is brokenness all around us. We grieve that. Let's grieve. That's a healthy reaction. That's a mature reaction. We grieve with those who are grieving. We mourn with those who mourn. Another one is to ask God for healing. We pray, God, you would help relieve those from suffering. Another mature reaction is to listen. Listen more than you speak. Don't provide quick answers. Don't try to just say a few craftily measured phrases and you think you can pull that person out of their suffering. Listen more than you talk. But ultimately, all of these are example of love. Love. Love those who are suffering and point them to Jesus. Almighty God, who suffered along with those who suffered. I'm going to invite Todd Grable to come. He's going to offer our first prayer this morning. He's going to pray it from here. And as Todd stands here to pray, I'm inviting you to join us in this ministry of presence by standing and praying with Todd.
Would you bow your heads as we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, praise be to God, our refuge and our strength in time of trouble. Father, you are well aware that there are Christians facing attacks from Islamic extremists. And Father, we ask that you would grant these Christians the ability to sense your presence even as they experience persecution. May those living in Mali or Mozambique who are driven from their homes for the practicing of their faith, may they find safe places to live. And Lord, grant Nigerian widows and orphans the provision of food, shelter, clothing, and education. Lord, provide spiritual wellness to Christians who suffered attacks in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And Lord, may the Holy Spirit use the testimonies of our persecuted Christian brothers and sisters to soften the hearts of Islamists. And Lord, may these testimonies lead them to repent and find new life in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture also told us a great truth. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, is familiar with brokenness. He experienced the things that we experienced: hunger, thirst. He experienced rejection. He experienced loss of loved ones. Hebrews 4 tells us that we have a great high priest who's been tempted in all the ways that we've been tempted. So celebrate this morning that Jesus is familiar with brokenness. Jesus did not avoid the broken. He didn't avoid the broken. Mark 1, in verses 40 to 45, Jesus came upon a man with leprosy, and the man asked Jesus to beg him, and it was not the right act to touch the man with leprosy. Jesus could have spoken words of healing over this man, but he reached out and he touched him and he healed him. Jesus did not avoid the broken. He says, I am willing. Remember that when you're suffering, that Jesus has gone through suffering and he's willing to enter suffering for the sake of the sufferer. The Lord is present through the brokenness. If you read scripture, one passage that came to mind when I saw that was Isaiah 43. It says, when you pass through the waters, they won't sweep over you. When you go through the fires, they will not consume you. I remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the young Jewish boys that were thrown into the furnace because they wouldn't bow to pray. And they looked into the furnace. They didn't see three, but they saw four because the Lord was with them in that experience. Jesus promised in Matthew 28, verse 20, he says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Remember that Christ is with you. He enters into suffering for your sake. He will help you go through this. And finally, a demonstration of the Lord's presence by his people, the faithful care and demonstrable love of Christians serving the brokenhearted. Jesus gives us this commission, a new command. He says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. I know that that is a prayer request of mine that I need to pray regularly. Lord Jesus, help me to love others like you love them. I want you to pull out the bookmark that you have on the prayer guide, if you have them. There are 10 things there that I'm going to ask you to pray. I'm amazed at this list for a couple reasons. praying for the persecuted church. Number one, pray that those who are under persecution or suffering, Christians, will sense God's presence. Number one prayer request. I pray you sense God's presence as you go through this situation. The death of a loved one, the hardship of losing a child, or seeing someone in addiction or brokenness or whatever. Or we read about people being killed because of their faith. We pray that they and the survivors would experience God's presence. Second, to know that we are praying for them. They're not alone. There are people praying for me through this. Number three, that they experience God's comfort. We ask for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, to be around us and with us. Experience God's comfort. Number four, see God provide opportunities for evangelism. It's a great way to kind of, when someone who's suffering or going through suffering speaks the name of Jesus and the hope they have, it's a great way to catch the attention of the world that this is not overwhelming for them. Number five, boldly share the gospel. Number six, mature in their faith. Number seven, be granted wisdom in covert ministry work. Number eight, remain joyful and suffering. Number nine, forgive and love their persecutors. And number 10, be rooted in God's word. You know what's not on the list? Get me out of this suffering, oh God. That might be my number one. Tuck that in your Bible. Would you begin to pray these things for people in awareness of the suffering around the world? It's one of the ways that we have a ministry of God's presence for them. There are people in this world, there are families, there are loved ones that are mourning today because they've lost family members. Because they wouldn't recount their faith. So we're going to pray for them. I'm inviting Kyle to come to offer a prayer for the families of martyrs. It's Kyle Newman. Will you stand and join in this time of prayer?
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the example of persecuted Christians who remained obedient throughout their lives, even to the point of death. We ask that you comfort their families who sometimes see their loved ones' killers in public places. Please give these widows and orphans a supernatural ability to forgive, and in that forgiveness to proclaim your goodness. May the families of martyrs be provided for through the global body of Christ, receiving fulfillment of every need for food, shelter, clothing, education, employment, and emotional and spiritual support. Thank you, Father, for comforting the brokenhearted and blessing those who mourn. Thank you, Father, for unity in the global body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kyle. You may be seated. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and there is a reality of brokenness in this world. But this is the last point of our text today. The Lord delivers them from them all. It's the rescue from brokenness. Here's the victory, right? It's the last point. The rescue from brokenness. The Lord saves those who are crushed in spirit. Yeah, I want to first point to our God who can win any battle. God rescues from the situation. He can defeat the persecutor. God can part seas. He can reveal heavenly armies and have the enemy turn around. He can confuse enemies through blindness. He can defeat them through his death on the cross. God can defeat the persecutor. Remember. Secondly, God rescues from the situation sometimes by transforming the persecutor, where those who are going to fight against Christians then become Christians. We pray for hearts and minds to be changed who are against Christ. We pray for our enemies, as Christ told us to pray. We don't fight. We don't fight retaliation the way the world fights. We pray, and we ask for changed hearts and minds, conviction. Third, God rescues from the situation just through healing the broken. Addictions are broken. The power of His presence can help people have a peace that goes beyond understanding, even though their hearts are broken. It's the power of His presence and the power of love. And also, God rescues from the situation by providing for our needs, our physical, emotional, and relational needs. God is capable. He is able to do these things. We pray to Him. We look to Him. We trust in Him. The next component of this is a reality that you will experience, perhaps, and also what many of the world, and some like in the video that we just saw too. God lifts us above the reality of our suffering, even if He does not remove the suffering. Just as Paul prayed numerous times, God, I would like You to remove this thorn from my flesh. Take it away. But in that moment, God taught Paul. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. Just continue to rely on Me. It's very personal. This can happen in your life, that He can help you overcome the reality of your suffering by saying, my grace is sufficient for you today to deal with this, whatever it is that's providing the heartache, financial struggle, physical limitations, or cultural oppression. Reminds me of Paul, who was saying, whether I'm well clothed or naked, fed or hungry, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It was a contentment. Some of us need that message this morning, that your situation may not radically change, but your heart and your reaction to that situation can change because God can lift you above it as you go through it. May He do that to the glory of His name. This is very personal, but it's also very powerful because it revives the spirit. You find a hope, you find a truth, you find Christ who goes beyond it, who goes above the hardships. And we don't become overwhelmed. We just live the day, the moment in Christ. I think of Paul and Silas being in prison. They were whipped, they were beaten, they were bleeding, and they were in this dark place. And yet, they end up singing worship songs. God lifts us above the reality of our suffering, even if He does not remove the suffering. May it be so for the suffering among us and the suffering around the world. Because we've prayed. We pray. We pray weekly for the suffering church, our brothers and sisters who are being slain for their testimony. And yet it continues. We pray that God would continue to birth joy and life and hope through the families and loved ones that remain to continue the walk. You know, sometimes I think we have so much, and our suffering is based upon those things being taken away. You reduce it to little. You don't have a lot of stake in the things of this world. Your hope is just like, I'm going to heaven. That's where I'm going. I'm headed. I'm going to do and try to make it through the day and live as best I can. But our joy is in God's presence. It's not in all the things of this world. Ultimately, here's the rescue from brokenness. It's an illusion of the world that we should live for this world. Everything that you have, someone said this morning or this week, like, you can't take anything with you to heaven. Naked I came into this world, naked I'll depart, blessed be the name of the Lord. And yet we strive and we long for all the things here, and we do. We need things to minister in this area. I get it, so do I. Clothes, we need vehicles. And those things can all distract us from our mission. They can help us accomplish our mission, but they can also distract us. But listen, we're moving towards eternity. We're one day closer to eternity. That's supposed to be good news and not bad. That's good news and not bad. because this message that's going out across the world and families who are hearing this or maybe even just watching this live stream, they're saying, you want me to find joy and peace in the ministry of the Spirit and find life and still worship when all my village is gone and my loved ones are killed? And we still say, yes, because you are victorious in Christ. They will rise in Christ. They're alive in Christ. And this is where we find hope and joy. John 3:16 reminds us of an assurance of an eternity with God. Those who believe in Christ will live with him forever. Peter tells the church of a living hope. The hope of eternity is imperishable. It's undefiled, it's unfading, and kept in heaven for us. No one can take it away from you. He tells them this because they were experiencing great suffering and persecution in the early church. God has provided the rescue from brokenness. It's Him. It's Him. So a ministry to the brokenhearted ultimately comes around with getting the greatest prayer concern is like, I pray you experience God's presence. His presence. I'm going to invite Brian to come. Brian's going to make his way up. He's going to offer a prayer for our persecuted Christian brothers and sisters. Praise team, I invite you to come for our last song, The Battle Belongs to the Lord. We want you to pick up these on the way out, the bookmarks and the global prayer guide. This is a prayer based upon Matthew 5, 10-13 of the Beatitudes. Will you stand and pray with us?
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, when our persecuted Christian brothers and sisters suffer harassment, ridicule, rejection, beatings, torture, imprisonment, and even death, they are indeed blessed because the kingdom of heaven is theirs already. As they are reviled and all kinds of evil is spoken against them falsely on account of Christ, may they be glad and fix their affection on the promise of eternity. Thank you, Father, that our brothers and sisters endure persecution for the sake of the living as salt and light in a fallen world, in order that your kingdom may advance at any cost. May they be blessed today, and may we be inspired by their examples and stand with them in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brian. The view from here on earth, it can be disturbing. It can be overwhelming. It can cause doubt and confusion. There's suffering. There is persecution. We're not going to escape that. There are many who are heartbroken, but God is for us. Jesus is able to help, to heal, to transform from death to life. Jesus announced his mission in his hometown, Nazareth. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Light overcomes darkness. Nothing can take away the victories of Jesus Christ for his people. I'm calling you to a ministry to the brokenhearted. So remain aware. Pray, give, listen, and walk with the suffering. But always remember, it's not our job to fix it. The battle belongs to the Lord. Amen? Let's sing.